Welcome to the Food Founders interview from Frogop. Vibee founder Gordon Belsch is on a mission to inspire and support people to live more healthily and more sustainably. Already established in Australia and New Zealand, Vibee grew from Gordon's own passion for sports nutrition, helping him compete in bodybuilding competitions and decathlons. Vibee has evolved to prioritise nutrition for cognitive health and well-being, making it accessible, convenient and cost-effective. Now launched across Europe and the UK, I'm fascinated to learn how he's done it and where he's going next. Welcome, Gordon.
How are you doing, Stephen? Nice to meet you.
I guess the first question is, can you tell us a little bit about how Vibee came to be and why you started the business?
Yeah, Vibee originated from being us as unhappy customers. So there's another co-founder involved, and he's Rory. So we met back in the at our previous workplace. But yeah, simply we weren't happy with what was on the shelves at the supermarkets, starting off in the UK. And then I emigrated over to Australia, and it was the same story there on the shelves. Yeah, things that were full of sugar, unhealthy, didn't really do the job.
What, nutrition products that were full of sugar?
Nutrition products. So more around the breakfast area. There was products like Up and Go, for instance, that back then, if you looked at the nutritional panel, they had far too much sugar. So yeah, we felt there was a gap for a healthy alternative.
And can I ask what took you to Australia? Was that training or was it just job? Or?
It was more adventure. I started I was an accountant at KPMG beforehand, and then the plan was do your training, get your 3 years under your belt, qualify, and then go abroad. So Australia seemed like the typical route for us Brits. That's where it led me.
Has your accountancy training been something you've leaned on quite heavily starting the business?
It definitely allows you to understand how a business operates. More so, yeah, the numbers is an obvious one, but yeah, how all the process works, what a hierarchy can look like, what different people mean, what suppliers, other parts of the chain as well.
I presume you didn't have loads of experience in food, supplements, nutrition and food product development. That's something you've picked up.
Yeah, we've picked up a little bit, yeah. As I said, yeah, we were naive and we thought, yeah, we can make a drink that's going to be shelf stable for a year and know how to get all the supplies and everything. Yeah, we can do that easy. And it's not going to cost too much either. And it's not going to take us too long. those are the type of things we would say in our head to make it feel like it was okay.
But you got there.
We got there, yeah. But certainly we started with a drink first. And I would say that failed. Failed is maybe harsh, but yeah, we learned loads and we decided to pivot after we finished off the run of the drinks. Just simply because it was the MOQ is really high compared to powder, and it's a lot more difficult to make it taste properly if you're doing the UHT on the drinks. Yeah, it was a good learning experience, for sure.
When you say it failed, are you comfortable to explain a bit more about sort of in what way it failed, if you like? Was it cost? Was it traction with customers?
I think it failed in our strategy was to get into retail straight away. And again, oh yeah, we'll just get into retail. It's going to be easy. So we got into like various local places like petrol stations, gyms and things like that. And that purely came from, yeah, just grit and door knocking at the weekend. That was part of the story at the beginning when I was doing two jobs. And yeah, we were getting good feedback, but the ultimate goal was to get a big retail listing. And yeah, we didn't anticipate how difficult that would actually be. And then to top things off, we launched like literally just before COVID hit, and the retailer said we're not taking on any new brands. So we pivoted to online, and online made more sense from a powder point of view rather than drinks. So that was the rationale. So yeah, to come back maybe full circle, like we want to get the drinks back within the next 6 months.
So aside from the kind of the high sugar, did you feel there was something missing in the kind of, you know, the supplement or, you know, sports nutrition space?
Yeah, at the time, there wasn't really a healthy meal replacement shake, right? So there's the big players now, but at the time over in Australia, there wasn't really anything on the market. And I was making that smoothie recipe back at university, so that's basically how the idea came to play. And yeah, it was like, right, this is convenient, this is healthy, we can make it relatively affordable with the right ingredients, and that was the logic, yeah.
And were you making yourself, or were you contracting the manufacturing to someone, or?
made it ourselves to begin with to get like a base, and then we reached out to food scientists, and then from there it was co-packers. Yeah, and in order for it to be shelf stable, like you need to go through the big chemical process.
And what's currently in the range?
So at the moment we've got the meal replacement powder, four different flavours, and then after that we launched the brain care range. So that's the nutritional products focused on brain health. And the first one there was the greens, the super greens powder with the brain health elements. And then more recently is our coffee alternative. So Brain Care Smart Focus is the name of that one. And that is basic for people to substitute their coffee, like coffee upgraded. We've still got some caffeine in there, but we've got L-theanine, which takes the edge off the caffeine, promotes a bit more calmness. And then you've got your B vitamins and maca root and everything like that.
And things like sort of nootropics and adaptogens, that's kind of what we're talking about, Isn't it? Do you find your consumers understand the benefits or understand what they are, or they just sort of see brain health and but that's what they're buying into kind of thing?
Yeah, I think brain health is the easier term to understand for people that don't know what nootropics or adaptogens are. Like, for instance, we attend trade shows quite a lot, and that's where we get like a bit more of a market research on the spot. And yeah, you'll probably see like 70-65% of people don't really know what nootropics is. But they've heard of the lion's mane, which is quite interesting now. I think a lot more brands are educating the market for them by way of like what's on Meta, what's on the other platforms. And then also what's in the news. You know, you're getting all these clinical studies that are becoming more mainstream to do with lion's mane and nootropics and everything else.
I think it's TikTok. I know I've heard of Shilajit. No, that's the only place I've come across.
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting one.
So, what does your customer base look like then? Is it quite young or is it broad?
Yeah,
or?
Well, we typically just target like 30-45 professional. You know, so people that are health conscious, want to look after themselves. But then again, if I go back to the trade show, we've met people there that have been our customers for like over 3 years now. And they're not in that demographic, you know, and you'll have all these different, you'll come away with loads of new customers from the trade show to buy on the spot. And then if you look at the demographic of some of the typical, like if you look at tenfold of people, they're actually all different. It's quite alarming. So you think you've got your marketing down to a bit more of a T, but then you find out you've got all these different anomalies. And then you think, right, how can we actually target all these people? And you can't. So you just have to focus in on that. And then, yeah, if you get other people that come into that funnel, then great.
Yes, people bring their own reason for buying, I guess, to the product. I was going to say, have you done lots of consumer testing and customer focus groups and segmentation?
Yeah, so to begin with, whenever we launch a new product, we try and get focus groups in from the manufacturing people as well. So they have a science team that we really back all of our data that we find and say, we're looking for this. And then they get involved, they get other people involved, and then we do more testing ourselves. Yeah, at the very beginning, you do it to friends and family and stuff, but you wouldn't really get the best of result.
Lots of positive feedback.
I know, lots of positive feedback. although you try and pick people that you know you're going to get a straight answer. but yeah, you need data into like thousands now, don't you? So, but it's not really that attainable when you've got a small budget.
So you launched in Australia, are you launched in the UK or are you launching in the UK?
Yeah, we soft launched in the UK, and that was probably a couple of years ago. And then more recently, we got our listing at Whole Foods in the UK. So we started and then put more into the advertising. And yeah, you could call that a harder launch. Yeah, we're definitely seeing differences across our advertising results in the UK to compare to Australia. Even though, yeah, you think you're relatively the same as your friends down under. Yeah, that's been a bit of a learning curve. But then you also need to look at what the market is in that specific area. So in the UK, for instance, the meal replacement market is more competitive. There's more people in the UK. You think it could offset that, but maybe not quite. And then you have other bigger players in the greens and then coffee alternatives too. So it's about cutting through the noise is what we're still doing. We've definitely not mastered it yet, but we're pushing on. And then we also had distribution in Europe So we had warehouse space over there in the Netherlands.
So the soft launch, you ship product over here, or?
So soft launch, ship product, and then harder launch, we made it in the UK.
Just to pop back to Australia for a second, you were kind of on your own in the market in Australia for your type of product, or were there any competitors?
Yeah, there's other nutrition brands that are bigger, but have maybe like they're an auxiliary product as a meal replacement powder. So that type. I mean, not really other ones that just focus down on that. And yeah, there's other ones that are more weight loss. So there's been a big player there that exited recently, like hundreds of millions. But they're on weight loss focus predominantly. So yeah, it's definitely competitive now. Yeah.
And then, but coming over here, it's just the factor, you know, more competitive and more complicated and, as you say, noisier.
Yeah, true.
So what are the key things do you think you learned from launching in Australia?
Going back to what I said about the first failure, inverted commas, with the drinks, that was, yeah, we could have saved a lot of money if perhaps we'd sought mentorship earlier. That's been a key one. Like more recently, over the last 6 months, we've got mentors within e-commerce that have been through everything before. So yeah, that was definitely a bit of a steep learning curve in order to try and save the cost.
Looking at all the difference of, you know, the claims in the product, you know, the nutrition, the brain health, the focus and clarity, weight loss, the convenience, plant-based, and the social purpose, which we should come on and talk to in a bit. Which ones do you think are the most important for your customers?
Yeah, our plant-based and is definitely one that we get feedback on. I know that's massive. The nootropic side is a point of difference with the Lion's Mane that we started with at the beginning. And then, yeah, this, as you mentioned, the social purpose. We get a lot of people that do actually email and say, well, yeah, we were not put over the line, but that was certainly a deciding factor to know that you guys are helping out in that respect.
Do you want to sort of explain a little bit about Mary's Meals and how it works and how you found it, I guess?
Rory and I, so the co-founder, we did a bit of work before Vibe for the Prince's Trust. We had an earlier startup, but not really startup. It was a not-for-profit Tough Mother event that we launched. The goal was to get £10,000 profit to give back to the Prince's Trust. So basically we got that and we had so much fun building a brand, building an event. And that was why we thought, yeah, why are we not doing something else after this? And that's effectively how Vibe came about. And we went to an event after Prince's Trust and saw all the people that money went towards. So it's like the disadvantaged adults that were able to get back into work, learn new skills, go to college, etc. I was like, oh yeah, you're working on something that's a lot bigger than you, effectively. And then when we launched Vibe, we wanted to get something similar involved. So we actually had initial plans of it being a not-for-profit overall. But that, yeah, to get funding, etc., like it wasn't really as easy or etc. to have a limited company. So Mary's Meals provide a meal to children in some of the disadvantaged countries around the world, but they give it at schools. So you need to go to school in order to get the meals. There's a bit of a twofold. And Mary's Meals is actually a Scottish charity.
Oh, it's a good Scottish name, isn't it?
And it's global. So for every online order, we give back a meal to Mary's Meals. So we make a donation.
That's quite a commitment. That's brilliant. What are you currently selling? And how has that evolved? And it's great to hear about the Whole Foods listing. What are your ambitions in terms of sales channels as well?
Yeah, predominantly online in Australia and the UK and Europe, as I mentioned. But plans, yeah, we want to use the Whole Foods listing. It's prestige at the end of the day. So there's no reason why we can't try and keep picking up more listings, both in the UK and Australia. We've actually had a few offers in Australia already. So we're just working through the deals with some of the retailers there. Yeah, they're definitely excited by the Whole Foods side and then what we're doing online. And the brain care range. So, yeah, we want to do that. And then also there's other markets that we're looking to dip our toes in by way of like consultants. So it's almost like no win, no fee, which is good. So yeah, there's no reason why we can't test. So that'll happen over like the next 6 months.
And how big is the team now?
Yeah, there's around about like 30 people helping on Vibe, like almost on a daily basis. A lot of them are fractional. So yeah, we had another late co-founder, Hielke, so he's based in Amsterdam. He's got a logistics 3PL background. And then Lawrence, he's more in the marketing graphic design, so he's designed all the pouches now. And Rory, as I mentioned, he's still at one of the other big drinks brands in the UK. But he still does Vibe every day as well. And we have customer service agents and other marketing folk as well.
It's quite lean.
Yeah, I was just gonna say there's we use various agencies to help. So like all the ad agencies, email agency as well.
You've built an amazing presence with a lean team. Is there a point at which you think you begin to put more full time heads into the business?
Yeah, definitely. We're going through a stage now that we're going to be raising more funds at the moment, and yeah, it definitely makes sense for them to be full time.
Where's the plan to start? Operations or?
Yeah, a head of ops role, definitely, and then also like more of a commercial side with the retail.
Touching on that, can I ask how you've funded the business so far then?
So bootstrapped at the very beginning. That came from investment from me, all your savings in, credit card, multiple credit cards, get them going.
Push them into the centre of the table.
Exactly. What's the other one that we used? Balance transfer, 0% balance transfer cards as well. So yeah, I think the point on that is you need to show that you've got skin in the game first if you're going to be looking for funding. And then once we effectively got the recipe transferred to the food scientists, etc. So we then, that showed you had a bit more oomph behind you. So then we took like the investment deck to family and friends. We did like a small family and friends round. And then after that, once we got the product on the market, I then looked to people at the investment bank that was working at the time in Australia. So these guys have got a bit more money. and then a bit of spare change. So they put in a little bit at the start too. So it's all very like low seed funding rounds. And then, yeah, we've just been able to grow on that. And then more recently went through like another small raise, like 150K. Yeah. And then over the next 6 months, we're looking to a larger one.
And are you thinking sort of crowdfunding and sort of that kind of tribe based stuff, or are you going for a more formal raise? Or?
Yeah, both. We're keen to do the tribe base, but we also use e-commerce funding platforms. So based on your sales, you can get X amount. Yeah, because it's all connected with your e-commerce platform. Like they know exactly what you're getting. But the problem with them is that they typically take like a percentage of your sales per day. So then what we're also looking at is another debt funding route with the banks. So now that we've got all the years of sales, they're now taking it a bit more seriously. So yeah, when I was in Australia, we got accepted for lines of credit as well. So I think the distinction is, with the debt funding, you should be using that for your inventory growth. And then with the other investor funding, like the equity side, you should be using that for other like different types of growth, like product development, new markets, hiring, and then get it going from there.
Is there anything you wish you could kind of go back and tell yourself earlier on in the business that would have saved, you know, a disaster or pain or, you know, missed opportunities or anything like that? Are there any things you wish you could get in the time machine?
Yeah, I think we should have got someone on board that had done e-commerce before, because we started the journey and then tried to teach ourselves everything. So basically we had no confidence in what we were doing because we hadn't done it before. And it was all through trial and error. So if we'd got someone on board that had been through a similar journey, e-commerce specifically, then we would have succeeded a lot faster. I mean, a lot of our growth over the last like year and a half came from using an agency that had done it before. And I like you guys have, you're sitting on a bit of a gold mine here. You just need to do it properly. And they helped us, and then we went up. So that would be one. And then, yeah, what I mentioned about the drinks at the beginning, if we'd had someone else that had maybe also been through that journey, then we could have saved a lot of time.
And it's mainly...
I was going to say it is what it is. That's the journey.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not... There's not been any disasters. It's more a question of you could have made progress more quickly.
Yeah.
With the right help.
Yeah, you could have executed better. That's simply it.
I get the feeling it's you want to learn this stuff as well. It's not a question of just handing it over to someone. It's kind of, you know, it's a growth thing for you as well, mm-hmm. Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoy like nearly every aspect. I can't do it all.
Nearly every aspect.
Yeah, nearly every aspect. I think that
Are you comfortable talking about the bits you don't enjoy, or would you rather
not? No, I think, yeah, the bits you don't enjoy. I don't think that I should really be doing all the admin point of, like, we've got other people to do that now, but yeah, you still need to get involved. But I prefer, like, more of a hands-off, just running like a machine. I think that's the part of the goals for the next 6 to 12 months as well, is, like, making it more of a machine that just runs itself. And then I can take a step back and focus on more growth activity. But yeah, for instance, over the last 3 months, we've been working towards Black Friday, and we're in the depth of that right now. But part of that is just all website development. So give you a bit of background. We joined a mentorship program that's organized by one of the successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. And you've got access to different facets of e-commerce on a daily basis. So like ads, finance, tax, legal, operations, and from people that have just walked in your shoes before and exited for hundreds of millions, you know, so these guys are all on board. We've learned so much from that, and over the last 3 months, and part of that activity was driving forward parts of the website that would allow you to convert more. From implementing that over the last month and a half, we've seen an uptick already, like in conversion rate and overall sales. So yeah, it's definitely worth it.
And a final question, are there any brands or businesses that you aspire to be like?
Yeah, I think all the big players in the market at the moment, like the Huel, the Yfood, AG1, all the younger entrepreneurs that seem to execute it a lot faster. You can learn everything from everyone, right? And even the manufacturers that we work with too, like aspiring to like get everything as well chiseled as they do and learn from them.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's fascinating and really, I think, really great advice as well for other people on the journey that you're on or have been on and will still be on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Stephen.
You can find out more about Vibee at www.vibee.co.uk or vibee.com.au. And you can buy online and find out more about the business and Mary's Meals as well. If you want to hear more Food Founders interviews, go to froghop.co.uk/podcast or search for Food Founders interviews wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing and you like the interview with Gordon, give us a like and a review. It all helps, and we'll see you soon.